Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Most physicians are great at making money, but terrible at growing it. You work 60-hour weeks while your savings sit in accounts earning basically nothing. NERP changes this. It's algorithmic trading designed specifically for busy professionals who don't have time to watch markets. AI-powered strategies that work while you're seeing patients. No day trading, no guesswork, just systematic wealth building designed for people with demanding careers. Built for physicians who want their money working as hard as they do. Check out start.nerp.com/doctors. That's start.nerp.com/doctors to learn more. NERP is a paid sponsor of this episode. All trading carries risk and results vary, so do your own research. This isn't financial advice. Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD, the podcast for physician and healthcare entrepreneurs. And today I'm excited to have on the show someone who is doing tremendous work. He is a gastroenterologist just outside of Chicago. He's been attending since 2009. He still practices full time, but what he got into was something that he probably couldn't even imagine when he first got into medical school, and that is coaching. He is the founder of Better Physician Life Coaching, and he also hosts the podcast Better Physician Life, which is a part of the Doctor Podcast Network, which, as you know, I'm a founder of too. And I just wanted him to bring on the show. He works with physicians who feel trapped. Maybe they dread the work. Maybe they feel that they can't be present at home, or maybe they feel like their whole identity is tied to being a physician. And he had his own journey through that, chased financial independence, thought it would be a cure, but he plainly says it didn't work for him. And he's going to be sharing his story, his journey, and his important work of how he's helping other physicians who may be struggling through the same thing. Onto the show, I want to welcome Dr. Michael Hirsch. Michael, so glad to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. So many Michaels in the room right now.
You know, it's funny. So on my podcast, I talk about pickleball a lot because I'm in that age demographic on there. I played it like 4 to 5 times. And when someone says Mike, I generally know what age bracket they're in. They're probably over 40. I don't want to age you, but they're generally over 40s. There are no Dylans or Connors that are in our demographic. There's no Mikes that are 18 years old these days. So it is what it is, but happy to have two Mikes on the show.
100%. You pinpointed my age demographic for sure. I actually grew up in a household where there were three Michaels. My stepdad, my stepbrother, and I were all Michael. So we all had to have different nicknames so that we knew either we would all respond or nobody would respond.
Yeah, it's kind of like George Foreman. I think there's like four Georges in his family. So I want to talk about your journey, not necessarily your journey into GI, but your journey into becoming a physician coach. So tell me how this all started for you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I had a very traditional medical education pathway straight through college, medical school, residency. And it was just very clear to me from the very beginning that this is what I wanted to do. And there was truly never anything else I ever entertained in terms of a career. That, and probably when I finished fellowship in 2009, I was already fairly burned out. But it's amazing how when we get to the next level, we find something inside of us to just keep going and just make it happen. And that's exactly what happened. I joined a very small private practice where I was the second gastroenterologist in a multi-specialty group. And I built myself up very quickly. The practice built quickly. My reputation in the area built up very quickly. My waiting list built up very quickly. And it's interesting to look back now. Back then, it was just hard to see how things just compiled. How the busyness of clinical practice and marriage and having children and medical malpractice and then COVID and all of these things just seemed to coalesce. And there was a point in my career where I became very distrustful of medicine. And I decided that the only thing I could do was get out. This career, that was the only thing I ever wanted. I just couldn't figure out how to escape it fast enough. So as you were mentioning in your intro, I really dove headfirst into the FIRE movement, saving as much as possible, squirreling away money. Literally anytime my wife ever asked me to do something, I was like, if we do that, it's just going to postpone how long it takes me to get out of medicine. And somewhere in the midst of COVID, you know, physician coaching was not something I was naturally drawn to. It wasn't something that I thought would solve my problem. But I met a physician coach who was running a program who asked me the question that I attribute with changing the entire trajectory of my career, which was, if you don't do this, what changes? And I had never even considered, oh, if I keep doing the same thing over and over again, I'm just going to keep getting the same result. So it was a combination of that question and my wife really encouraging me, saying, look, we got to do something different. This isn't working for anybody, that allowed me to at least give coaching an opportunity, because I was actually a huge skeptic. And I was not sure that this was the thing that I wanted to invest in financially or personally. And it really did change everything for me. And so that's what brought me here.
And again, I'm sure there are things that you shared with your coach that are very personal to you, but maybe kind of like the general things on here. Maybe what started that perception of coaching? Because it's something that I've heard with a lot of physicians. And I think a lot of times too, when it comes to making decisions, it's the buck stops with us. Yes. And so letting somebody else coach or consult you can be feeling, you know, maybe it's an ego thing. I don't know what it is, but what was it for you? What started that kind of trepidation? It was, coach, I'm not sure if that's for me.
I think medical training ingrains this in ourselves, that we are just supposed to figure it out. We practice relatively independently, and there are certainly communities along the way, communities that really help to support and move us forward. Medical school, residency, fellowship, those are all done in community. And so there are people we can lean on, but they're the people immediately surrounding us. And sometimes there are mentors along the way. Sometimes those mentors are more helpful than others, but we're never really shown how to develop those relationships. Networking, not really something that is reinforced in medicine. Mentorship outside of clinical research or translational research or the lab bench, there's just not a ton of it. And so it's not really modeled for us. The benefits are not fully demonstrated for us. When you look in the business world, this is a thing. But in healthcare, it's not really, the benefits are not fully shown. And so I think physicians are also on high alert, because there are so many ways that physicians are being taken advantage of. I know I have been taken advantage of in the insurance space to earlier in my career. And so we're always on high alert. Who's trying to take advantage of me? And I'm a born and bred New Yorker. And so we also are particularly on high alert for what could be a scam. And so I think for all of those reasons, I was very suspicious of anybody trying to help me. Could anybody really understand what I was going through and what my life was like? And it turned out the answer was yes. I needed to experience it in order to see it.
I 100% agree with that too. And I also do think there is an ego part of it as well. I don't know the statistics, but I think there's maybe a gender. I think in my anecdotal thing, I think more women are open to coaching than men. And that's why I say, I think a lot of times too, for physicians, we're not allowed to show weakness. And getting help from others shows weakness, or at least perceived weakness, right? So things that we have to talk about when it comes to, you know, boards in terms of like therapy or getting mental help is still, I think, looked down upon. What is your sense on that?
Yeah, there's a ton of stigma around just getting help in general, particularly amongst doctors. And to your point about the gender disparities in terms of asking for help, that's 100% of the reason why I did this. even in my very initial coaching experience, which was not just one physician coach, there was kind of a number of different physicians who were coaching. About probably half, maybe even more than half of them were female physicians. And this just seemed like something that we needed to have more male physicians speaking to the struggles that we are all experiencing too. And about 75% of the physicians I coach are male physicians, and we're all feeling it. When I think back to my medical school class, 50% of my medical school classmates were women, but the other 50% were men. And it's not as if the healthcare changes have only affected one gender. We're all living in this new what healthcare looks like now. And it's important to think through it. And so many doctors try to do this on their own. And when are they doing it? They're doing it on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. after a full day of clinical work. They've gotten the kids to bed. They're mentally and physically exhausted. And then they're just trying to figure out on their own, what do I do? Or they're turning to AI, which I will say is an incredible tool and has a tendency to kind of agree with you. It's supposed to be a pleasing experience that gets you to keep coming back without ever really challenging a lot of the things that are going on. And that is, I think, what has, for me, been some of the greatest impact of coaching, is really challenging what are my deeply held beliefs and do I want to hold on to those, or are they really just holding me?
So when you underwent coaching, and maybe you just touched on it, what were some of the kind of things that really opened your eyes and then you really found yourself the benefits of coaching? What helped you?
Yeah. So I think there were a lot of places in my mind where I was the victim, where everything was happening to me. And I think through coaching, I learned certainly there is plenty in my current life that I cannot control. I am a full-time practicing gastroenterologist working for a large health system. There's a lot that is just happening around me, and I function within that system. And that does not mean I'm powerless. It does not mean I have no control over how things go. And learning how to find the areas where I can have some control and what I can let go of, because it was never mine to control in the first place, has really shifted how I approach my days. Showing up early when a building is locked and waiting outside for them to open the doors because I don't have a key, man, was that just the silliest waste of time, where I stood outside and I was aggravated before the day even started, versus realizing, oh, you can just leave for work 15 minutes later, not sit in a ton of traffic still, and not have to wait outside in the snow. Oh, that's really simple. It's really simple for you and me to talk about this right now. At the time, my focus was solely on, why is this door locked?
Yeah. Again, like you said, it sounds so simple, but sometimes you need people to kind of point out those things, those little microaggressions that sometimes we get throughout the day can lead to big time aggression later on. What are some other ways that it kind of changed your practice, or at least your perspective of your career after undergoing coaching?
Yeah. Another thing that I talk about not infrequently is taking a lunch break. So in my fellowship, we were trained, you start procedures at 7:30 in the morning, you scope until 5 p.m., there's no breaks. If you manage to finish in the afternoon a little bit early, you can run and grab some food, but there's no, you don't schedule a lunch. That would mess everything up. And I now schedule a lunch. I have a 30-minute block built into my procedure day that allows me 30 minutes away from clinical work. And let's be honest, it's in front of my computer, but I'm generally not doing patient-related work during that time. I have 30 minutes to either catch up on my day, to eat something, and it has completely transformed my afternoon, because now I'm fed, I'm relaxed, I am ready to approach all of the procedures that are still waiting. And there was a huge belief that gastroenterologists don't do that. We just keep working. And that did require some work. It also required me to believe in it enough that when I got a ton of pushback about how this would impact staff breaks and how it would impact my schedule and all of those things, that I believed in what I needed enough that I could push back as well.
You mentioned one of the things that kind of drove you was this FIRE story, financial independent, retire early, that you knew gung-ho, this is what I want to do. So what happened with that after coaching? It sounds like you focused on a number. I know a number of people in the movement, they have a number in mind. How did that change for you? What things changed?
Yeah. So I still deeply believe in the tenets of the FIRE movement. I still am saving and investing and doing all of the things that I was doing before. And what has gotten better is the urgency. You know, I think doctors in general set a goal and then decide that they want to get there as quickly as possible. And that's what the FIRE movement was for me. It wasn't just a goal. It was a finish line. And I wanted to get to that finish line as soon as possible. And in so doing, I was missing my life. My kids were growing up. I wasn't home. I was so busy working that I was missing all of it. And so the goals haven't changed, like the financial plans, the savings, all of that stuff is exactly the same. What I did was I just decided that the finish line didn't have to be at a specific time point in my life. Now I am home more. I eat dinner with my family. I can walk my kids to school one day a week and pick them up from school one day a week. So a lot of that stuff wasn't changing the overall belief in saving. It was just changing the urgency with which I was trying to do it.
Yeah, as someone who had retired for a few years from medicine, at least my experience was, you know, I was kind of looking for the same thing. But then I actually got, to be honest, bored. And my health started to deteriorate because of it. And it's like, oh, well, that you're just saying that on there. And it's like, well, really, I didn't have any challenges for me. And now, you know, I can't even think about retiring. Sure, I'm going to retire from medicine soon. But I think, as you know, I'm involved in a lot of entrepreneurial pursuits. And I'm still excited to wake up, you know, whether it's seeing patients or not. And that's what kind of drives me. And I think, for the most part, the way that you've changed your lifestyle is you are retiring. You decided to take mini retirements, right? Those mini retirements can be like a few hours with your kids, right? And taking a longer vacation on in there. So I think that's what's exciting to me about the way medicine is changing. Some may not believe that, but there are more options now for doctors than they were. I just told you, you know, earlier on a call we had was this, like, I thought you'd have to work for a job for like 30 years. And the job that I was in, I didn't want to be there for 30 years. And so medicine's allowed me to do that. And you do have different options, or just reevaluating your current job and realizing, hey, there are things that I could be doing that I have control over, which it sounds like what happened with you, that's, you know, made you a better dad, better physician.
Yeah. And to your point, I think a lot of doctors think like, oh, when I retire, everything's going to get better. But our brains, my brain, doesn't work that way. I like to be productive. I like to be busy. And so sitting on a hammock on the beach, sipping Mai Tais sounds amazing for a couple of weeks. And then after that, I'm going to get super bored and I'm going to want something to do. And so for me, it wasn't so much about what do I not want to do? It's how do I want to be spending my time? And we've talked about how I'm probably the busiest I've ever been in my entire life. And for the first time in a long time, clinical medicine feels sustainable for me because it's not the only thing anymore. And I think that is one thing, you know, physicians get so wrapped up in the profession, they don't realize like, this is great. And you can keep building toward other things outside of clinical medicine.
So you got the benefits from coaching and you had a great experience doing it. What led you to the decision, you know, I think I can coach other physicians?
A little bit of just not knowing about entrepreneurship. So as we were kind of discussing, you know, you imagine when you're a physician, you've got a skill set, you just hang up your metaphorical shingle and you just start working. And so I just saw this need for physicians who wanted to keep practicing clinically, or maybe needed to keep practicing clinically, but felt like they couldn't anymore. And again, how there were so few male voices in this space. And I was just like, this fills a need. And I think that is one thing that physicians are really good at identifying needs like this. And then it was just about following through on it. And it's been hard. I think the entrepreneurial journey, there's so much to learn. about putting yourself out there, about helping others. But it's the helping others piece, which is so central to the physician personality and the brain. Like, we are wired to help other people. And so for me, that is partially what has been able to sustain me in the physician coaching space, is seeing the impact that it is having. So I wouldn't say I knew from go that this was something that was going to work. And I'm so glad that I threw my hat into the proverbial ring, because really so much has shifted for me.
So someone who is on this call, maybe they're a physician, maybe they're going through some things in their work. What is the type of physician that might eventually contact you? What have you experienced, and how have you helped them through some of the obstacles that they might be experiencing?
Yeah. And so there's so many different reasons that physicians come to coaching, but the one that I hear the most is what I call the leftovers. So many physicians give every bit of themselves at work, and then they come home and their family gets the leftovers, right? So all of a sudden, we've given all of our patients and all of our effort and all of our energy, sometimes to systems that don't necessarily appreciate us. And then we come home to the people that we love the most and have very little patience, very little bandwidth. And our family, sometimes when we're walking through the door, they're not really sure what version of us they're going to get. And that is really where I have seen coaching shine, is helping us to create the bandwidth, the boundaries, to make sure that when we get home to the people we love the most and who love us the most, that we have enough left over for them so that they're not always getting the leftovers. That's been huge. I think also people who are at big transition point in their lives, people who are thinking, do I stay? Do I go? Whether that refers to a current job or medicine altogether, because it's so important to think through this. So many times, you know, I refer to it as the physician personality. We bring so much of medicine with us that we leave one thing and we bring all of the baggage that was weighing us down along for the ride to the next thing. And giving ourselves an opportunity to unpack, what are the things I like about my current life? What are the things that aren't working right now? And how do I figure that stuff out first, before I make the transition or the move to something different? Because otherwise, that transition, it might make you happy for a short period of time, but you're going to notice the same exact issues coming up for you in the next thing that you're doing. So working through it ahead of time can make such a huge difference.
And you've been a podcaster for some time, and, you know, to help spread your message, you've got Better Physician Life, which I encourage all of my listeners to go check out, just some amazing conversations that you've had. And just tell me about the podcast. Why did you start it? And then I know you're working with us at the Doctor Podcast Network. If you mind just maybe talking about your experience and how it's helped you with your podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. So again, same thing. Never in a million years would I have thought that I would have a weekly podcast talking to physicians about all of the things that we are experiencing in healthcare. I had had a previous podcast that I had done, and I had a taste for how much work it can be to run a podcast. When that podcast ended, I took about a year off and really thinking very carefully, do I want to put the time and the effort back into this thing? And their truth was, the answer was yes. I was just so afraid of how much work it was going to be. And luckily, I found out about the Doctor Podcast Network, and it has made the process so seamless and straightforward for me. There's still a ton of work. For all of the listeners who are interested in starting a podcast, I would never say anything other than you really have to be committed to it, because it does take some time and effort and energy to do it. And having a production company that has helped so much with how to do it, setting you up with the equipment and everything that you need to make it seamless, has really made things so much easier. And it's great to be able to share with the broader physician audience all of the things that we have in common and all of the things that we're going through together and all of the things that we can think about to make our lives better. And that's where better physician life comes from. It's about making the lives that we've worked so hard for better. And so, yeah, that's been my experience. Dr. Podcast Network has been great.
So for someone who's listening out there and they want to find out more, please share your website. And I understand you've got a tool, a goal setting guide called the 5-Minute Commute Reset. Tell us more about that. And again, where can they go to get more information?
Absolutely. So everything is Better Physician Life, betterphysicianlife.com. You can head over there. I do have a number of free resources, including that 5-Minute Commute Reset. So we were talking a little bit about the leftovers and how when we get home, sometimes our family is getting whatever is left over. And the 5-Minute Commute Reset is a really phenomenal tool to help get us in the right mindset before we walk through the door. And literally 5-minute guided audio, some tips that you can use to make sure that you are fully present when you walk through the door in the evening. And then the podcast we were talking about, Better Physician Life, and I'm present on all the socials. So if you want to catch some clips or even send me a message, I'd love to hear from you.
Michael, this has been a tremendous conversation. Keep doing the work that you're doing. I really appreciate it. I know you're doing a lot of work helping a lot of physicians. Any last minute thoughts before we end the call today?
No, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's been great being here. And to the physicians who are listening, just know that there is so much out there for us. We have so many translatable skills. We work with humans every single day. We see the needs. We see the impact that we can have. And just keep thinking through, how do I want to bring all of my knowledge and all of my expertise out into the world? Because we do have so much to offer. And keep doing it. And we need doctor voices out in the world doing this work. And let it be you.
We'll end with that. Michael, again, thank you so much. BetterPhysicianLife.com to get all of the resources. Thank you. And thank you guys for listening. Remember, as an entrepreneur, you're going to have your ups and your downs. Do something a little each day to get you closer to your goals and keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now, let's get to work.